Welcome to Agman. It's Agman Report for Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is Austin Brower. Together, we are going to get into a number of topics. Let's get right into it. I'm going to bring Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com, and of course, the Ted and Austin Brower Show. So let's, Austin, good to see you, my friend.
Doug, right to the point. I like it today. Right, hope everybody's having a fantastic Wednesday. Hope you're doing good as well, Doug.
Doing well.
Good. Everything's been pretty wild down here in Florida. Been keeping a lot of things together. If you guys listen to the other show, you know, and keeping a lot of health news and health updates on with everybody. And, of course, all the other crazy world news that's been going on over the last, I don't know, you know, 2-3 weeks just continues to get weirder and weirder. So we could go any direction you want tonight. I got some health stuff lined up, got some stuff going on with the FDA, got a few other topics. You tell me where you want to go tonight, my friend. It's been an interesting week already.
Well, I love your health news because with all the, you know, with all the stuff that gets just, as I look at things, with all the stuff that gets covered, the probably one of the most important things that we could talk about is our health. But if I can just pause that just for a moment and ask about the situations. For example, the SAVE Act was passed, essentially the Voter ID Act was passed in the House, but one Democrat voted in favor. Interesting. Now it goes to the Senate, of course, wondering if the Senate Majority Leader Thune is going to have the balls to pass that. I've got my doubt or two to bring that to the floor. I have my doubts. I just do because I'm a cynical SOB right now. So there's that. What in the hell is going on in El Paso with respect to that NOTAM, the 10-day hiatus, closing down the airport there? What's going on with that? I got a question. I got questions. And, you know, the problem here is for the things that are not in terms of military or national security or active investigations, and I've got questions, I'm not getting any answers, and I don't like that. So I don't know. You know, and there's so much chaff out there. Yeah, and you know what I'm talking about. The stuff that the media puts out that is so just absolutely, it gets on every, it pulls people's radar into different directions or a direction. That chaff works really well to hide what's really important. So, you know what, Austin? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, any like specific information concerning the cartels with drone incursion in El Paso airspace hasn't really been released in any detail. Texas has reported extensively on the use of weaponized drones by drug cartel to attack police and military. We've known for years drone usage is, it's the way of the future, unfortunately, with a lot of warfare. You've seen it now in Ukraine and Russia. They've weaponized drones to no extent over there. I mean, insane amounts. And so I don't know whether or not this is theater in order to keep people, you know, more boogeyman. I know the cartel are some interesting individuals down there. Whether or not they're doing this to shut it down or something else happened, I don't know. One thing I do know, though, is that, you know, nobody wants to talk about a lot of the real things that are going on and whether or not this is something that's legitimate. You know, somebody asked me the other day, they were asking me about the whole Epstein thing. And I was like, you know, I've been covering this for a decade. And I said, it's pretty clear. You don't even have to argue with it anymore now that the entire government has been compromised and that we've got a Middle Eastern country, you know, through their black ops controlling our Congress. These guys are involved in all types of sadistic things with young children. We know it. We've talked about it. I've called it out for years. And I think a lot of people are having to the point now where they're just having normalcy bias. They don't want to address it. They don't want to think about it. They're just like, I'd rather ignore it. And I get it to some extent. Some of this stuff is so negative, you got to start taking a step back and say, okay, what can I do actually on the ground here? What can I do that's best for my family? What can I do that's best for the community? And that's, you know, making sure everybody's staying vigilant and aware and awake and having situational awareness. This thing, you know, just because it stopped with Epstein's operation, what do you think? That entire market just dissolved? That entire world that's underground with this whole thing just suddenly disappeared? It hasn't. It just transferred to somebody different. And that's the part that I think a lot of people need to come to question and realize that even though this stuff has gotten released on Epstein finally and people are realizing how dark it was, that is just Epstein's file. There are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of individuals like him worldwide that work in conjunction with other leaders to basically do trafficking. And so you need to realize this didn't just stop. It's still operational. I mean, Pam Bondi refused to do anything. But said, oh, if we do anything, you know, we can't. You know, it's nauseating to me how much they're covering, how much they're protecting, and how much they're refusing to actually address the real issues that are going on. Because, you know, everybody needs to talk about what's going on with the NFL or other dumb crap that nobody even really is cares about relevancy. At the end of the day, you got to make sure you're doing the best for your family and your local community. And this is a topic that isn't going away. So you got to do the best you can locally and work with that as far as my concern.
100%. I agree 100% with that. Now, you know, Bondi appeared before the whatever committee. It really doesn't matter. They're all sideshows anyway. And of course, I you know, remain unimpressed by that. But one thing I did see, of course, when Bondi was there, the victims of the Epstein trafficking ring. Many of the victims were there, and they were all dressed. You know what, folks? I mean, look, this is all theater, and they were all—they all had the same or similar shirts on, and they all, when prompted, stood up, and they all admitted that the Department of Justice had not interviewed any of them in terms of their experiences. Right. So here's my question, and I asked this yesterday. Now, I understand. Now, folks, I understand the obvious. Okay, so don't. I'm digging a little bit deeper than the obvious. If my daughter, if my sister, which I have no sisters, but if my whoever, someone close to me, was a victim, and they had the opportunity to name names. Okay, I'm having a hard time why none of these alleged victims, and I'm not blaming them. I'm curious as to why none have named their handlers, their abusers, the predators, or said, you know, when I was there, so was John Smith over here, or John Doe, or whatever. Okay. And now, if that was my sister or someone close to me, and at this level, we had not gotten any satisfaction, John Doe would not have to worry at all. I mean, the Justice Department would not have to worry about handling John Doe. And you might say, well, you're hard, talking like you're hard ass. No, no, it's just a matter of fact. So, but again, going back to that, even without that scenario, why haven't they said, you know what, public, we're filing a civil, or I'm filing a civil suit against, because you could take this to civil court. By the way, there's also maneuvers to file a private criminal complaint. I've done that successfully, I might add. I've also filed civil actions successfully, I might add, with the help of the attorney. So, to you, Austin, why hasn't this been done?
I asked that same question to a guy a while back ago that had worked in some, private security until years ago, because I was curious about that too, because pretty much none of these girls, and they've never really gone into a lot of detail with it. And one thing he brought back to, and he said, have you ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut? And I said, unfortunately, yes, I did. I watched it in college. I did an action report on it. And he said, a lot of times with these guys that are involved in this stuff and when they're doing this, he goes, most of them wear masks and they have different types of identities that they hide behind when they're involved in this type of nefarious behavior. That's what a lot of that movie was depicting and showing. And a lot of rumors have said that Stanley Kubrick tried to have more in that film and it was cut out and he died shortly before the film was released. Now, again, that's pure speculation on my part, just what people have told me. And I think that may possibly be a scenario to it. And the Justice Department knows this. That's why they just redact the names on all these emails and they literally let all this stuff come out. but then they pretend like they don't know. I mean, okay, let's put it this way.
How could you pretend you know? Look, they can connect the dots. And by the way, Eyes Wide Shut, folks, that was a friggin' documentary. You might as well put that up with documentaries. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that was pretty much, in my opinion, that was pretty much them coming out and saying, we know these guys are pedophiles. We know they're involved in satanic rituals. We know they're doing it. They know they're doing it. You know we're doing it. We're going to show you all the information, emails, and content that they're doing it. But we're going to make sure that we pretend like we have no idea how to do anything about it. But, you know, we can go arrest 70-year-old granny in South Dakota because we have a video of her walking up the stairs of the Capitol building on January 6th. We could extradite her back to D.C. in handcuffs because, you know, we saw a camera footage for 5 seconds. We have facial recognition software. But, you know, we just can't seem to find anybody that was involved with anything with Maxwell and Epstein. And that's the part that I think this entire thing has been done now is it's almost becoming a joke from this upper cabal class is where they're saying, you know, this is what we're doing. Conspiracy theorists have been right about it. We've been involved in all satanic stuff. This is what we do. We're going to let you know this is what we do. But we're above the law and nobody's coming after us because we pretty much have dirt on everybody and in every agency and every community. And that's where it's at now with it. I think that's the most frustrating part that a lot of people that are awake realize with this whole thing is that it was almost like a slap in the face with this whole thing. You know, we have 3.5 million documents we've gone through, videos, photos. We have no idea about anybody who's involved in it though.
And like, the other thing too, but I've worked with some great people in law enforcement. I've watched and stood alongside as they served search warrants, confiscated property, arrested people. You know, I was there. I was part of that. And you know, this to me, I don't know if I would trust the product that. Are the products that are the files. I don't know if I would trust the videos or the I have no faith in any evidentiary value of the Epstein documents. That doesn't mean that all that means is I would highly doubt that they're complete. I would highly doubt that because how many agents and agencies, departments, fingerprints are on those files?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, where is the chain of custody form? Because always, if you don't have a chain of custody, folks, the paperwork, okay. Anyway, so yeah, you're 100% accurate with what you said, but the bottom line here is, Austin, I'm just going to leave it and I'm going to kind of back away. Here's how I feel. With everything going on right now, I feel that there's something going on. And I don't know what
going on.
Okay. Obviously we're in a spiritual battle. Obviously there's a lot of things going on, but there's something, if you look, it's kind of like if you were in a movie theater and of course you're watching the screen and let's just say that screen was divided up into, I don't know, a dozen or two dozen mini screens. Okay. People are looking at that screen and here's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that there's something behind that screen. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But something pretty dark behind that screen. And I just got this gut feeling that whatever it is, it's not good. And it's bigger than people realize. Folks, I don't know. I don't know. And Austin, I don't know. But that's my gut talking. So with that, we could move on to happier topics. I could play some puppy videos. We could. So, but I'm just saying. That, and maybe, just maybe, the personal events and professional events and things have pushed me in that direction. I don't know. But I don't know how many other people are out there. And folks who are, I'll just say this. If you're in the chat and if you can relate to what I said just now, just type a, all caps, yes. Okay. Or yes. Okay. Whatever. to you, sir. All yours. Go ahead.
I'm going to clutch it up and grab third gear right now and go to an actual positive topic. At least we're seeing something in the health community on this. And, you know, RFK Jr., I've talked about it. He's probably been one of the best things that Trump actually did because, quite frankly, a lot of people have been pretty irritated with Trump and a lot of the stuff that he's been allowing and putting in place. However, RFK Jr. really grabbed another level. They started to expose what's going on with the food industry, with the agri, with the pharmaceutical. And also, too, now, you know, there's a lot of gears that changed in the FDA with RFK Jr. And I sent this article to Eric, and Moderna now is shocked as the FDA last week notified Moderna that the agency would not review its application for a new RNA flu vaccine, citing the company's failure to perform an adequate and well-controlled clinical trial. Experts suggest the FDA is signaling skepticism of RNA vaccines in general and is possibly starting to step away from them because of the bad publicity. This is huge. Now, granted, the FDA should have done this back in 2020 when the RNA shot came out for the COVID injection and all these other ones that have followed through and gotten this emergency use authorization. However, this is now showing that the FDA is really starting to question, and I think some people in there are starting to raise eyebrows and going, do we want to have our rubber stamp on this now with our name on it 6 years later after COVID, where we know now there is no rebuttal about the dangers of the RNA shot, about gene therapy. We know there's severe side effects. You can pretend it and downplay it and say VAERS is this or that, but at the end of the day, we know it is the highest, basically the highest side effect vaccine or injection. It's not really a vaccine. It's ever been produced pretty much in the United States. And the FDA informed Moderna of its decision on February 3rd, refusal to file letter signed by Dr. Vinay Prasad, director of the agency's Center for Biologic Evaluation and Research, which oversees vaccines. The decision followed the FDA's adoption of stricter approach now to approving all vaccines. They said they moved to not even consider Moderna's application, signaling a new aggressive phase to regulate drugs and forcing drug makers to actually perform rigorous studies. The FDA rarely issues refusal to file letters. However, it is saying now, though, that there's over 4% of what's being basically submitted to them is getting a refuse to file. This is involving Moderna's clinical trial test on its RNA 1010 vaccine against a flu vaccine instead of a placebo. Specifically, compared the outcome of the RNA vaccine against a standard dose flu shot. The statement released earlier today, cited by Fierce Biotech, FDA commissioner, said the clinical trial design put seniors at risk. And so this, again, Doug, goes into detail on why I've said so many times, this is why people have to ask questions and actually look at what's being injected into them and actually really do some research, because this is something that's not stopping. They're going to keep trying to push these shots on people. And at the end of the day, you've got to have informed consent. I'm so glad the FDA now is actually doing what their job is and saying, this isn't something that's good. We need to take a step back and really evaluate these RNA shots, Doug.
Bingo. That's all I got to say. You know, obviously their objective is to kill us. We are nothing but Soylent Green to them. Goyim, thank you. Goyim. Yes. Goyim.
If anybody hasn't heard that term now, it was used over, I think, 70 times in the different various emails that got released with Epstein now. I watched an article on again the other day, and somebody brought up and said, do you know what Goyim references to? He goes, what? He goes, it's basically a derogatory term against anybody that's a non-Jew, since you're their cattle. He goes, really? He goes, yeah. Over and over and over and over again in the emails with Epstein. Goyim, Goya. All over again.
And I've heard, look, I've heard non-Jews, I've heard Jews, I've heard non-Jews, I've heard certain ethnicities use that term. So just saying, okay? All right, save your outrage, okay, in case there is any. All right. But you know, yeah, and I was, folks, I'm going to be in Austin. It's kind of interesting because, believe it or not, I found some older videos, okay, from our old show from 2016, 2017, 2018.
Nice.
Okay, now. Boy, you looked a lot younger, by the way. Anyway,
I've aged a lot in a decade. It's been a long 10 years, man.
It's some rough miles there. So yeah. I'm going to be putting some of those up. We had, because, see, this is the thing which we're talking about. You nailed it back then. Your dad nailed it back then. That, I mean, their entire agenda. So to those who still deny their agenda, I don't know what to say to you, except I got nothing, but go ahead, sir. I want to let people know that because, again, the information you provided, not specifically about mRNA, but, about vaccinations, about, true vaccinations and about the foods and the poisonings and the agenda, 100% dead nuts accurate and proved correct. So go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, everybody should have been able to get the picture during COVID and realizing that nobody was coming to save us. It was not about our best interest. It was not about our health. It was not about our best well-being. They intentionally wanted to make everybody as sick as possible. And, you know, once you realize that and you grasp that concept, you realize that the medical industrial complex isn't there to make you healthy. They're there to make as much money as they possibly can off you. You finally have to take the personal responsibility. I talk about this all the time. It's your responsibility for your health. It's your responsibility for your diet. Nobody's coming to save you. And so once you get that and you realize, hey, maybe I need to be taking my B vitamins, my B complex, getting my nutrients in, taking my ultimate multiple powder, taking GHI cleanse, keeping my liver cleaned out. Once you start doing that and you understand and grasp that concept, you stop relying on this pharmaceutical industrial complex. They've intentionally made it as manipulated as they can with the healthcare industry and the hospitals and the crazy bills and the premiums. They've done it on purpose. And they make everybody think we need to have universal healthcare. Well, how about we have personal responsibility? How about the doctors and hospitals actually start have to take continue education on food and diet and nutrients and ultra processed food and vitamins that can help. Those are things we need to be discussing. That's what RFK's talked about in detail. And, you know, I mean, we even have now is the article I sent Eric. It says AI now is frequently providing wrong health advice. The study comes as OpenAI released ChatGPT Health, a dedicated bot to tackle health and wellness queries for users. The problem is, regarding medical questions, it's raised concern about their widespread deployment because essentially they're constantly giving out bad advice. These individuals are presented with medical scenarios and tasked with identifying potential health conditions, recommending course of action. Participants are split into four groups. Essentially, researchers fed the scenario and questions directly into AI models, assessed their performance without interacting with participants. They looked at it and essentially 56.3% on average was incorrect information they were giving. And now they're starting the same thing. And what and this is the problem with AI. It's based on whatever the final top tier entity is feeding all the way down, whether it's Microsoft, whether it's Palantir, whatever group it is. So if these groups don't want you taking B vitamins, they don't want you taking, you know, fit food protein, they don't want you taking omega-3s, they're going to feed this information into ChatGPT and these other AI platforms. They're going to make sure that when people look this up, because some people now, unfortunately, they've started to look at AI almost like it's this god with a little g. They come in now and say, well, I'm going to ChatGPT this. I'm going to AI this. I'm going to ask them this. And my question was always, I'm like, well, I mean, that's okay, but it's not the end all be all. Like, you have to ask them real questions, research.
Have you noticed? Sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry.
he's a good looking boy.
Yeah. He's my support system currently.
I love it, man. I love dogs.
Yeah. But have you noticed with respect to AI, the, and especially with the health issues, go ahead, bud.
Yep.
Okay. There is this resistance to really providing factual information, especially on everything, non-FDA stuff. In other words, you know, it's kind of programmed away from what we should be, programmed away from what you're talking about, or programmed away from your, supplements, programmed away from,
yeah, nutraceuticals, everything. Natural medicine, natural health remedies. And here's the problem that you run into is that, you know, right now, they're going to be trying to make a lot of stuff accurate with ChatGPT and AI and all that. And they're going to be working on it more and more and more. And here's the problem. What happens 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road when they slowly start tweaking this thing? They slowly start taking information and making it slightly false. They slowly start pulling truths away. And everybody goes, oh, well, that's AI now. I've listened to them for years. They give me great information. They give me great health news. And, yeah, I just follow them now. You're going to have a whole generation coming up soon behind this that they're going to be literally used to living off this information with AI. And they're going to be the next phase that I think this is going to be intended for, to manipulate. Because right now, like you said, you know, we'll call it out. I'll call it BS out real quick. I'm like, nah, that's not accurate. Like, that's unbelievably false. Well, what happens in 10 years now, the younger generation, they don't really have textbooks anymore, Doug. I mean, if you ask average children or teenagers about the Civil War, they'll tell you that the South refused to get rid of slaves, and so the North liberated them. That's literally what they'll say, which is not even remotely factual on how the Civil War started. And so you see this change in history.
They'll say... in my experience, a large majority, and that's not an exaggeration, of high school students have no idea who fought in the Civil War.
No.
Which, and you, to your point about AI and such, folks, look, I get the convenience of a digital book, okay? Buy hard copies of the books because
even just backup.
Yeah, well, that, and you know what? Things can, for example, they could change words in the Bible. They can change words in a pharmaceutical manual. So please, but you're 100% accurate on that. Continue, sir.
No, it's exactly right. I mean, yes, right now, like, oh, it's good, it's that. There's certain benefits to AI. It's got stuff. But I was talking to a buddy of mine earlier tonight who's very big in the tech industry, and he is involved heavily in AI. And he said the question, Austin, and nobody can't get an answer of, he goes, is what is bankrolling this long term? He said AI is not generating a significant amount of money comparative to what the investments are and what these capital groups are doing. He goes, we're putting in thousands of these monster AI data centers across the entire country, billions and billions and billions of dollars, almost $500 billion in infrastructure. And he goes, here's the part. He goes, you know, we had VHS, we went to DVDs, we've had CD-ROMs, we've got MP3s, we had all the stuff as far as the MP3 players and the iPod. And he goes, this stuff is going to, again, be outdated and antiquated in a few years, and we're going to need updates and bigger things and smaller things. And he goes, a lot of this stuff is going to be relics in 10 years. What are we going to do with this infrastructure? And I said, well, I think a lot of this infrastructure, but is designed to build and tie everybody into it. I said, we've talked about hive mind and cyber stuff and all these different things and transhumanism. And I said, that's where I think they want to tie this, is they want to get the vast majority of people living in like a matrix style or AI so they can control and monitor and watch everything people are doing. I said, because nothing else makes any sense to put the AI out so we can, you know, edit papers more, build videos or do content. Really? I mean, we're putting, you know, $500 billion this year in the United States in AI infrastructure because of that, because we're competing against China. I don't buy it. And I mean, that's the end of the day. That's what you got to look at, is what is bankrolling this and what's the ROI on it. And right now, it's not cost effective, nor will it be even over the next couple of years, which has kind of raised some red flags with everybody in the industry, Doug. A lot.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, I don't want to take you off your roll. Keep going, sir. This is great. But I will interrupt. TeamHealthMasters.com. Folks, supplements, and even some hardware, if you will, there as well. Is there a coupon code at checkout that you have arranged? Or if not, that's fine.
Yeah, DH5 is active, right, Eric? Okay. Is that what I sent you?
All right.
Good?
Yeah. We'll go.
DH5 is good.
Yeah, we'll go with DH5. So that stands for Doug Hagman 5, DH5 at checkout, except on the products that are already on sale or the stacks. Okay, so, you know, because you don't want them to be, well, you they'll be paying you to buy their product, which is, DH5 at checkout, teamhealthmasters.com. And while you're shopping, make sure you listen to their show. But there it is on screen. And, of course, the product of the week, it's some great offers there. So take advantage of that. But you're right. Austin is right. It's up to you if you want to take control of your own health. And I've every single day, folks, I know this. I see this, and you know, I think about Scott Adams and what he went through, and You've got to take control yourself, because ain't no one going to help you unless it's Austin Brower, Ted Brower, Team Health Masters, but no one's coming to help you. So no. Please.
That's a fact. And I mean, this morning's show, I did a big health show, and I mean, I went into detail now because a lot of people have asked me stuff about fibromyalgia over the last couple of weeks. It's been a topic. And what I try to do is when I get that, a lot of emails, I try to do a show on it. And I went to research the heck out of it, had multiple articles, and we found, as far as the research, that magnesium is the number one product that can help out with fibromyalgia. And there's a bunch of other products on there as well that I covered today if you want to listen to that. But, you know, there's certain things you can do. You don't have to live in constant pain. You don't have to live in constant, you know, tiredness all the time and having all these health issues and feeling blah. You can feel good. And when you feel good, you're more operational. You're more active. You're more effective. You can do more things. You can stay frostier. You can stay more successful. But again, that's not what these entities want. They want you to stay feeling horrible. They want you to basically be tired and on the couch and not want to get up or do anything all day, Doug, because again, that keeps you in the pharmaceutical industrial complex, that keeps you more tired, and that keeps you less effective at getting more things done, like also to protecting your family. Just thought I would throw that topic out there.
Do you have, I had somebody ask me this question. Maybe this might resonate with somebody listening or watching this. So, I'm going to pretend like I don't know. Okay. Maybe I don't. Do you have multiple, like a multivitamin for children in chewable form?
Yes, absolutely. We've got three different ones as far as not just for children. We have the Ultra Multiple Capsules, Ultra Multiple Powder, and Ultra Multiple Chewable, which adults can take too. I have a lot of families that buy them, and the whole family takes them, and they taste pretty good. They taste like a natural sweet tart. The best flavor I can get out of them, considering how strong the B complex is in it. And so, yes, I try to do everything I can to make sure we have a full age spectrum of supplements. And even the Ultra Multiple Powder that I talked about this morning on the show, that also can be thrown in a little shaker, a little sippy cup, and kids will drink it like juice. I talked to earlier on the show today about giving my son, my 2-year-old, entirely too much the other day. And man, it did, dude, he was running around the entire property just nonstop all day. And I was like, I was throwing scoops in water and I handed it to him. I was like, oh gosh, well, I won't do that again. There's way too many B vitamins for a 2-year-old. It didn't hurt him at all. He was fine. No. But man, he was off the wall, dude, all day.
But I got to ask you this. So if you were to describe to a parent what the chewable ultimate or the multiple chewable is to a child, you said it would kind of like a sweet tart taste, right? Would it be more
flavor? Yeah.
Okay. Flavor. Okay. But would it be more berry? Or would it be more citrus? And believe
it's definitely more on the berry side. Okay, a little bit more of the sweet tart berry side of it. We try to use the monk fruit to keep the flavor as best as possible with the B vitamins are very bitter. As far as methylated B vitamins. And so we try to keep the flavoring as best we can with the monk fruit. And so it's got a good flavor to it, the best I could possibly make without using any preservatives, any artificial flavors, any artificial sweeteners, anything that basically adds toxicity. I've never understood the fact, like Flintstones with Red 40 and sucralose and everything else. I'm like, you're giving literally toxic compounds to a child and calling them vitamins. So yeah, we made this specifically for kids to try to make sure they'll eat it and it tastes good. And I think you did a pretty good job at it.
Good. And I have to say, I've got grandchildren and they do like the taste and they have no problems whatsoever. And that also goes well with, or they also, as they get older, 7-ish, have no problem with the capsule. So I got to tell you, it's you've got a great line of products. TeamHealthMasters.com. The link is going to be in the program description box, all across audio and video. Go there, folks. If you're listening to this, I don't care if you're listening to this on a Saturday or Friday or whatever. Today, go there when you're listening and shop and put some stuff in your cart and make sure at checkout, DH5. And don't worry, they'll do the math for you. All right. So DH5 at checkout for 5% off. So it's really a great, great deal. So thank you for that. I get kind of dressed down for not asking some of the more basic questions in an email I got. And I read that and I thought, wow, you know what? That might have some merit to it. So that's why I asked that very basic
question. No, I'm always open. I love when people ask questions. Sometimes I make stuff entirely too complex. I'm the same as that. Sometimes the simple stuff that I just got to answer, I'm like, oh, that's all you needed? Yeah, I got it. I'll give you whatever you need on that one.
Yeah, no worries. All right. Perfect. Well, so we got, I'm so glad, by the way, I'm so glad you start off with that good news nugget. Continue, sir.
Well, and you know, it's funny. I sent this article to Eric too. This is another one. It was kind of tying off what was going on with, you know, advancements with electronics and systems. And, you know, Ford now just posted $11.1 billion net loss in their fourth quarter as EV losses essentially are weighing in. And you know, this kind of ties back into what I'm saying. You know, back 7-8 years ago, 2017, 2018, EVs were being touted as the way of the future. I mean, they were screaming it from the rooftops that, you know, internal combustion engines by 2025 were not going to exist. By 2030, they were going to be completely irrelevant. No one would be on the road anymore. And here we are in 2026 now, and EVs have totally collapsed. I mean, you can't even sell them. I mean, they depreciate by the week now in some cases. And Ford's, you know, shown $11 billion net loss in their fourth quarter. And this, again, shows you what happens when you just try to bet, I guess, with what the company, not the government is trying to force you to do instead of allowing the general population, letting capitalism actually run the show like it's supposed to. The general consumer will tell you what they want. And this is why I pushed so many people over the years. I gave them such hard times. I said, the reason why I won't support EVs, why I won't buy them, why I won't endorse them, why I'll never talk positive about them, is I said, not because I hate the technology. It's not. Sometimes the battery system's cool. I like go-karts. Go-karts are cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, electric golf cart running around. That's basically what it is.
Yep.
I said, it's the fact that we're being told we have to buy them. And then they're taking taxpayer dollars and they're giving huge rebate incentives and tax credits to customers that buy them with our taxpayer money. We paid for all that crap. And I'm sitting there going, that's when I get really irritated, is when you start saying, you have to buy this, you can't buy this now. And the market just absolutely wrecked it. The market said, no, we're not taking it. We're not going along with it. We're not going to support it. We're not going to buy it. We're basically going to tell you flush it down the toilet. And, you know, it's happened now, the same thing that made me so angry. And it came to exactly what I talked about. I talked about, you probably looked at some of the shows 10 years ago, Doug, about Amazon, you know, getting the contract with the postal office, getting to be able to deliver on Sunday. I told everybody when that happened 10 years ago, I said, this is going to massively raise shipping prices for everybody over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years. I said,
I just heard that today. I heard that. That was one of the episodes. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in sync.
You go to the post office now, you go to a local post office, try to ship something. It's obscene how expensive it is.
Oh, yeah.
And the post office has always operated pretty much always at a loss. It really was never designed to be profitable. It was designed to be kind of subsidized by the federal government and through postage and stuff, and then Pony Express all the way forward. And I got so mad at the postmaster in Auburndale, and it wasn't his fault, but he was kind of supporting it back in 2015. And I said, why is it that Amazon, the only company in the country, gets preferential treatment to get deliveries on Sundays, and I can't even buy into it? I can't even pay money to have it delivered on Sundays. I said, you're taking taxpayer-funded money through the post office, and you're allowing it to be spent on Amazon deliveries on Sundays that nobody can compete against. I said, this is complete and total monopolism run amok with Amazon, and you guys are subsidizing our taxpayer dollars. And sure enough, people, I love it. I get to order my Amazon on Friday, and it's here on Sunday. And I'm like, you're literally walking into your own curse. This is not what everybody thinks it is. I said, Amazon is subsidized by DOD contracts. Amazon is subsidized by BlackRock. Amazon would never exist on its own without DOD contracts. And I said, they are going to put all the mom and pop companies out of business. They're going to massively increase the shipping rates across the entire board with all companies on this. And I said, it is going to ruin the online e-commerce site. And every single thing I said about Amazon is known to be true now. And yet people still don't care. I mean, I get it. Sometimes there's crap you can't get because they put everybody else out of business and they have it. But like, I know people that they don't even do anything unless it's on Amazon. They will not shop with anybody but Amazon. And I just sit there and shake my head and go, you know, I guess everybody's got to learn the hard way with this. And this is where it's going to go. It's only going to get worse because the more people that are out of business, the more companies that shut down, the more Amazon takes a hold of the global retail monopoly. They're going to make sure that nobody has ability to buy or sell anything unless they deem it so. Don't think so. Just look ahead in the future and what you think they're going to do with Amazon One and the platforms they've already implemented in some of their basically Whole Foods, where you can scan your palm and buy the product and have it follow you around the stores. You put it in there and all kinds of other crazy stuff. That's the future. They want to control the food. They want to control the commerce. They want to control all e-commerce, period. That's why, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting this as your number one supplement company, supporting the show, supporting the product. We do this for you guys every day. I don't support these global companies. I'm diametrically opposed to supporting companies if they're opposed to my viewpoints. Why am I getting them money? If a company like Starbucks says, we hate Christians, we don't support gun owners, don't care if you come here, we don't like you run your business, how many times do I have to be told that before I stop giving them my money? Just a question, Doug. Just a question. I digress.
You know, I try my best. This is to purchase anything I need, and I don't need much, okay? Because I don't live. I mean, I'm very. I don't need much. I need Health Masters supplements. I need certain other things, but beyond that, I had the occasion. I wanted to purchase a sport coat, not a suit, but a sport coat for my grandson, and I went to a lot of different. We used to have actual tailors and men's stores and things like that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, wouldn't that be great? But anyway, the bottom line was the department stores. I walk in there. There's no one working. I mean, there are very few people working. And then to try to find somebody to help you is good luck with that. And then one person said to me, worker in this at Macy's, okay, which I'm a guy, so where do I go? I don't know. So I went to Macy's, and this is what the saleswoman said to me. She said, you know, you could probably go on Amazon and get what you're looking for. And I thought to myself, or, you know, help me, because that does that even make sense to you? I mean, the fact that you would have somebody at a brick and mortar store sending you to a mail order store, basically. I don't know. Maybe it's just
people are being trained to accept and embrace their own demise. That's what's happening. People are accepting it is because it's the new thing. It's the thing that we've been told to do. For some odd reason now, and it boggles my mind to no end, a large percentage of people have zero concrete rational thought. They have no real deductive reasoning where you go, okay, if I do this and I do this and I do this, this is the possible outcome that can happen. They don't do that. They sit there and go, it's cool right now. I need my dopamine. I want to click my Amazon cart. I want it right now. I don't want to do anything else but click this. Yet not even thinking about the long-term effects of what it's doing to the economy, what it's doing to businesses, what it's doing to other people they know, and looking at the fact that, eventually – Amazon ain't going to be your friend. They've never been your friend. They talk about, I mean, when we had this giant million square foot Amazon facility get shoved in under our noses, behind our backs at first over here in Auburndale, you know, nobody approved it. Nobody wanted it. They did this big, just clandestine, bid, buying up different lots around the area off I-4 and then turning around and basically combining them together in a different LLC. The shady stuff that Amazon always does. I told everybody at the commissioner meeting, I said, they go, it's going to generate like 10,000 jobs here in Auburndale. I said, no, the hell it's not. I said, you guys have these talking points that you think we believe. I said, at least you think they believe. I said, you know, sure as hell, I don't believe your crap. I said, it's total theater. I said, there's not going to bring any jobs to Auburndale. I said, Amazon's already got their internal workforce that they're going to transfer this facility. They're going to subsidize two of the big subdivisions that are already up for approval. I said, and then when they don't need them anymore and they basically have their AI robotics in, they're going to lay probably half the people off. Exactly what I said was going to happen has happened now, and half the people in these subdivisions now are out of jobs, and they're starting to foreclose on them right down the road now because Amazon helps subsidize the builders with D.R. Horton to get people in these houses with bad loans, with high interest rates. They're in them now. Then they get laid off. Amazon goes, $20 an hour, too much to pay, you peasant. I'm going to have a robot do your job now. Sure enough, here we are, and I'm right again, and nobody listened to me. Everybody's like, we don't know why this happened. Really? Really? You really don't know why this happened? Like, come on, dude. And so, I mean, and I'm not trying to get all mad right now. I'm trying to calm down. It's too late to be getting this angry. But it's just, you know, it's like when I see stuff happen and I try to give people warning and they come back to me and they want sympathy, it's really hard for me to give it to them. And I'm like, I told you in detail what was going to occur with this. I mean, in specific detail. And now you guys are shocked. Or you're just trying to pretend that you're shocked because you don't want to admit that I'm right. Maybe that's what it is, too. I don't know. But this, you know, it's...
I find myself, when I'm here doing this, it's difficult not to get riled up given the people we're dealing with, just so many factors out there. So I get it. So... Calm down. Happy
calm
thoughts.
Down. All right, I'm going to go to happy a happier thoughts. Topic, another health topic here. I covered this today on the show. Really good article, new research and discoveries. I sent it to Eric. It says daylight exposure linked to better blood sugar control study finds. This is pretty cool. It says daylight may be a free blood sugar aid many people are not using. They said something as simple as sitting by a window in natural light may help people with type 2 diabetes help keep their blood sugar a little bit more stable. Research study suggests the findings revealed that participants kept their blood sugar within a healthy range 50% of the time when exposed to natural light compared to 43% during an artificial light phase. This is a really cool study that went at the scientists at the German Diabetes Center ran this, and they went into detail on why it's so important to make sure you're getting adequate sunlight. And now another theory on this, because they basically took two groups. They had them in one. One was full sunlight. One was all LED lights. And they basically switched them halfway through the study of 8 weeks. And they saw that every time the people were in the sunlight, they had a lot better blood sugar. Now, my theory on this, too, wasn't just the sunlight and the vitamin D, even though that is important. My other theory on this was this. When people have more sunlight, they increase natural D production, which also increases serotonin. They also have better dopamine response, which means they're not as depressed. When people are sitting in a cubicle under LED light, staring at a screen all day, it almost makes you like drowned in depression. Like you're sitting there day after day after day, LEDs, no semblance of life. And so more than likely, you're probably going to be eating crappier food to try to boost your serotonin, your dopamine up by eating more junk food or sugary items. When you're next to a big giant window looking at the grass outside and watching the rabbits frolic and watching, you know, the peacocks run by and then the hawks try to get the rabbits and then that's Florida. But anyways, you get more involved with nature. You feel happier. You don't want to eat as much junk food because you're actually enjoying things more. That's my theory on that. But also, too, natural sunlight really helps out. I know it's hard to get sometimes during the winter, which is why it's so important to make sure you are taking adequate D3, 10,000 K2 to keep your D3 levels up during the wintertime, because it will get to you. And seasonal affective disorder is a very real thing. And that's why I encourage people on a regular basis, make sure you're taking your subs, but also to try to get some fresh air. I know right now in some of the northern states, it's cold. I know there's a lot of snow all over the place for a while. But as it starts to thaw out and cool down, it's, you know, get some sun, get outside. Our bodies weren't made to sit inside a house for 12 hours a day under LED screens, staring at a computer, staring at phones. They really weren't. And I contribute a lot of health problems to that now with inactivity and people's inability to actually be more connected with nature. Just a topic that I figured I'd cover on here today. I thought that was interesting.
I think it's interesting and important. And given those facts, I just might wake up tomorrow morning, grab a lady, my studio dog, and Maxwell, I guess, Maxwell's mom's dog, but grab lady and jump in the car or truck and just start heading south, and I'll stop when I hit water as I go south. maybe not that far down because, I'll stop by and see you. However, you said it's cold down there. Cold.
It's been cold. It's been up and down. Yeah. I mean, we had snow in the Panhandle, a lot of snow in the Panhandle 2 weeks ago. Wow. So it's been chilly. It's been nice, though. You know, I've got the heater on some of the spots. But, you know, us Floridians are pretty sensitive to cold. You know, once it gets about 60 outside, it's like, ooh, I got that puffy jacket that I was going to use for Everest, but I never went. I'm pulling it out. It's 15.
Now. I'll say this. When I was down a couple of years ago for like, 4 weeks, I was down there, and it's way south, West Palm. I got to say, by week three in the morning, because I would get up at, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, it's a little nipply out there. Okay. And, by week three, you're kind of, your blood's saying, wait a second, you better throw. Yeah. I was looking for a parka at, like at 55, 60, 62 or whatever. I'm thinking, man, that's cold. So I get that. However, boy, that's great. But folks, Health Masters, teamhealthmasters.com is the website, teamhealthmasters.com, because we are a team. DH5 is the coupon code. Shop there. Please take advantage of DH5. And, look, DH5 coupon code is not going to last for, forever. So take advantage of it as soon as you can, and make health your priority, because this is something you've got control over. And if you don't, get control over. All right, sir. Continue.
Well, yeah, take advantage of the B complex right now. Everybody voted. We have a thing called Product of the Week. There's multiple products up for vote. People vote on them every Wednesday. The top vote wins the product, because it's pretty much my way of, getting involved with customers and listeners and Health Masters family and what they want to see win. The B complex won. And it's one of the key nutrients B vitamins are, especially you have the methylated B vitamins that are bioactive that actually your body can absorb. They don't have to break down. Always look and see if it's methylcobalamin, which is what you want for B12, and not cyanide cobalamin, which is toxic as all get out. Your body's got to convert it and has a horrible conversion rate. But, the vast majority of people are deficient in B vitamins, especially if you drink it all, especially if you smoke it all, especially if you're eating toxic foods that basically are stripping out, or you have a high stress life. And B vitamins are water soluble. They don't build up long term in the body. Your body has to, you have to constantly replenish them and add more to your system and basically keep your body stacked up on B vitamins. And they help out with the central nervous system. They help out with the brain. They help out with the heart. They help out with blood pressure. They help out with the adrenaline. They help out with everything. They're essential B vitamins for the body. And so, again, we have one of the strongest ones on the market. They will get you going, and they work. You take two or three of them with a good meal, you'll know why you took them. And so, again, that's why I love having the interaction with the customers as far as the product of the week. And so y'all voted. I threw it on sale, I think, for like 15, 16% off for product of the week. And that just went on today. So be sure to take advantage of that if you guys want to stock up on it. And, I appreciate the emails, the reviews. And thank you guys for supporting Doug. We go back and forth on this show all the time. And, what we're trying to do is give people the ability to make positive, informed consent choices. I'm never going to tell you what you got to do. I'm never going to tell you what you have to do. What I'm going to tell you is there's certain things you can do to make things better. There's certain things, if you do this, it's probably going to make them worse, just for my opinion. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. I'm not always right all the time, but I try to give my best input and do my best research before I give you guys my intel and my opinion on things. And Doug does the same. And so that's why on this show, I really, really appreciate all the feedback we get from you guys. We couldn't do it without you. We continue to just keep pushing along and encouraging you guys. These are things you can do to make a difference now. A lot of this crazy stuff. I mean, like, I just found out that we shipped our first tanker of Venezuelan oil to Israel. They got like the first one. Okay, oh, whatever. Wow. That's interesting. We got to find out, the cartels are allegedly flying drones over El Paso. I mean, gosh, dude, I mean, how wild does it get? And I mean, all these things that happen and occur all the time. At the end of the day, I got to cover some of them. So does Doug. We bring it out there. But I always try to bring you guys some semblance of positive and what we need to be doing with following Christ, with following proper nutritional guidelines and values, and how to feel the best you possibly can spiritually, mentally, and physically. Because at the end of the day, that's what you got. You definitely 100% can control that. I remember Jim Rohn. Rest in peace. Great, great, basically, encourager. I met him once with Ted, and Jim Rohn's got some great content online. Still, a lot of people are replaying it. And I remember that's one thing he said. He goes, if you can't control anything else that's going around you, one thing you can control is your mindset and how you look at things and what you do about them. Every single day, you have the choice to wake up and go, I'm going to do things. I'm going to push forward. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to stay focused. Or you have the ability to go, oh gosh, it's cold and my feet hurt, my nose is runny and I'm tired and I don't want to do it. Yeah, cool, you can do that too. And I'll promise you, everybody I know that follows that negative ideology, their lifestyles in pretty much the same way you can figure. Everybody I know that stays healthy, strong, focused, goal-oriented, they do so because they have to push forward. And in most cases, other people are relying on them, family, friends, kids. And it's your job, especially if you're a leader in a role, it's your job to encourage one another. It's your job to lift each other up. And it's your job to maintain a healthy, positive lifestyle as best as possible. I mean, I like Five Guys sometimes, not even going to lie. I do like me a cheeseburger occasionally. But at the end of the day, you lead by example. If you're walking around, you're 500 pounds, and you can't breathe going up a flight of stairs, and you're telling everybody how tactically savvy you are with your plate carrier that doesn't fit you, and everybody's going to go, yeah, I'm just going to kind of let you take the first shot while I hide behind you. And I know that's kind of a rude thing to say, but at the end of the day, if it is to be, it's up to you. If you want to stay strong and healthy, do it. If you don't, don't. But there will be consequences. There'll be different directions on both sides of that. And so, again, thank you for the support of Health Masters. I'll give you guys the truth news every day I can, especially when it comes to health, on this show and on healthmasters.com. Once again, thanks for having me on Hagmann again.
So two closing questions. The first question is,
yep,
do you still have in stock the powdered purple sticks? The
in the can.
In the can. Thank you.
No, unfortunately, I don't, Doug. I have them in production. They're in production right now. They'll be pretty much finished on the powders getting finalized this week and the next week. Then we got to go into basically testing. Then we're going to canning and everything will be good to go. I'm expecting them probably about 4 weeks. I still have the packets. I got the packets. I run them every day. Same product in a packet. But I know I ran a small batch of the cans to see if everybody would like it. And everybody loved it. And so I immediately got on the horn, got into production on it. But as you can imagine with that product, I'm insanely picky about the raws on it. Everything's got to be tested before it's mixed. And I got to make sure it works. I got to make sure it tastes good. I've got to make sure everything's as perfect as I can get. Because that's my base right there, man. That keeps me off the energy drinks and the Red Bulls like I did in my 20s and the pre-workouts. I used to hammer that stuff. I'll be the first one to admit it. And I mean, the huge, huge amounts of caffeine in the pre-workouts and caused me heart problems. And now to this day, I stay away from all that stuff. And the purple sticks give you antioxidants. They give you energy that's sustained, not spiked. They give you the raw nutrients to keep going and stay healthy. And so to answer the question, yes, they're coming back.
It's coming. Which I kind of figured because I was perusing your website. So I kind of figured. But folks, the other part of that, to Health Master's credit, the production, the laboratory analysis, the purity, just appreciate the fact that you're not getting sawdust. You're not getting extra fillers. And that goes for the entirety of the products. So I want to mention that because in my quest to look at different supplements, different companies and all that, and folks, you've heard me say this before, having seen the facility, for Health Masters, I'm telling you what, state of the art and fantastic products. I would stand behind that. And the second thing, before you cut loose, remind people what time and where people can listen to you and your father, because it is absolutely a must listen. 1 hour of solid, packed information, unlike this, which, you know, it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, but remind people.
I love listening to your show, Doug. I mean, it's great. I get some of my stuff from you, too. On our show, it's thebrowershow.com. You can find us on Spotify, Apple. I mean, we're on all the different platforms, but browershow.com, that takes you right to the base. That's where the starting point is. We're there live every single day and on multiple other platforms you can click on and check out from there. But browershow.com, that's where it's at. At 10 to 11 Eastern Standard Time live. And, you know, recently I've been doing a lot of live shows and, you know, it's funny because a lot of, you know, Doug, people have no idea how much energy and time and content it takes to make an hour of straight live show. No breaks, no guests, no commercials, no interruption. I want to knock it out, give you guys as much as I can in 1 hour, keep you guys updated for the day and then move on. Time is money to me. Time is very valuable. I'm the same thing. I respect y'all's time. I'm not going to sit here and do an 8-hour monologue. Oh, talk about this. Nah, man. Here's the deal. Here's what's going on. Here's what to look at today. Boom. Knock it out. Get on with your day. We'll talk again tomorrow. And that's what I try to do on our show every single day, Doug, on thebrowershow.com.
Yeah. It's once you listen to that, and folks, you can appreciate the fact that, Austin and his father, they'll just pummel you with information. Sometimes I listen to your show like 2-3 times just to get all of the information. It's very fast paced and it's information packed, and I appreciate that. So fantastic job. Team Health Masters, that's the website, folks. Teamhealthmasters.com. The link, I'll make it easy for you. It'll be in the program description box, Rumble, all the audio platforms. I can't even name them all, but they'll be there. It's going to be there, as well as HagmanPI.com, TeamHealthMasters.com. Austin, thank you so very much for
Doug. It's been a pleasure. As always, my friend, you guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And I'm going to go make some eggs. I'm hungry.
You know, you do that quite often after our show together.
Eight a day, my friend. Eight a day. 4 in the morning, 4 at night. Keeps the doctor away.
Gotta love that. All right. Enjoy.
You guys.
Thank you. All right. Folks, that was Austin Brewer. Again, Austin Brewer, TeamHealthMasters.com. What an amazing guy, too. And the amount of information that he processes. And I'm not, you know, this is not false flattery, but just going through the old broadcasts and listening to him, his father, and the information they had 10 years ago. About different topics. I was astounded. So, okay. There's that. Again, a lot of things going on. And, man. One more time. I'll just say this. In the law enforcement parlance, as I typed in the chat on Rumble, which is why you should follow us on Rumble. Subscribe. What do you subscribe, follow? Hang on a second here. Follow, I guess. And create an account on Rumble. It's free. And that way you can join the chat. And just come on in. It's just, again, in law enforcement parlance, which I typed in there before, something feels hinky. Something feels off. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's not any one thing. It's the combination of things. So having said that, now coming up is, as a matter of fact, in the green room right now, Sam Andrews. Sam and I always have a great time talking about whatever it is we talk about. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But he's a great guy. Freedom Center USA. That's his business. Freedom Center USA. Freedomtrain.net. That's the website. You're seeing it on your, if you're watching this, you're seeing it on your screen. He builds weapon systems. When I say that, long rifles, high quality. He has an amazing history in he has a lot of endeavors under his belt. We'll just leave it there. But Sam Andrews is with me, and I'm just so happy to welcome him on. Sam, are you ready? Hair, makeup ready? Are you still in the green room there? Or are you walking down the hall? Did the producer yank you out? Or no? We don't know. All right. Here we go. I wasn't sure if they knocked on the door and said, you know, hey, Sam, you're on 2 minutes.
Hey, I had a little technical difficulties, but I am here.
All right. Well, you know, I got to say this. I had technical difficulties before the show. It's a common thing. As a matter of fact, thank you for fixing the... Oh, wait. Oh, okay. So I've got a split preview screen. So, never mind. I'm seeing things in reverse on one side. We're good. We're good. All right. No technical problems. But Sam, it's good to see you, my friend. I got to ask you real quick out of the gate, and then you can talk about whatever. What the hell's going on in Texas with this airport closing 10 days in New Orleans? And what's going on? Do you know? I mean,
well, I know a little bit. I don't know very much. I know that there was some cartel technology that flies drones that crossed the border and were involved in some operations with the cartels. And a lot of that stuff got shot down. And they closed the airspace for a while.
Wait. Whoa. So, like, recently shot down? Like,
yeah.
This? Okay.
Yeah, fairly recently. So, in the last 48 hours, I think they've killed a couple of drones. I don't know what they're publicizing about. I don't know what's out in the media, because I have been answering phone calls and with customers and trying to help people solve their medical problems. And I've been doing about 13 hours a day of phone work, trying to keep people headed in the right direction. And so I haven't really listened to the news. So I don't know what's in the news.
Okay. And thank you. And Sam, folks, believe me, Sam does. He's on the phone all the time. He's talking to his clients. And I can verify this because, hey, I partake of his services. So, but having said that, I don't want to go any further because I don't know where you want to go and what you want to discuss. So I'm going to turn this over to you in terms of subject matter, what's on your mind, what you think is important, and we'll just talk about it. So to you.
Let's start with one of the lighter things. This will be a surprise for you, Doug. We haven't talked about this.
All right.
But I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Honolulu Pickleball. And Honolulu Pickleball, they make pickleball paddles for pickleball players. And I want to thank them dearly. I'm going to show you this. Okay. At my request, they produced this beautiful commemorative pickleball paddle with a cover, no less, commemorating January 6th. So we now have a pickleball paddle that says January 6th on it, right here, and there it is. You know, there it is.
Okay.
So if you want to remember the protest against the corrupt election, which now there's proof for, just look at what's going on in Georgia.
Yeah.
We've got a pickleball paddle to commemorate the people that were smart enough to protest the corrupt election.
Well, hot damn. It's finally made it to pickleball.
Is that a cool company to come out with a J6er commemorative pickleball paddle? I mean, I love those guys. And it's a great paddle. It's the best technology out there right now.
If you pointed me to a pickleball court, a pickleball or a pickleball paddle, I would fail in being able to identify what the hell that is. Okay.
So just saying. Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America right now.
Yippee.
It looks like a mini tennis court, and you play with something that looks like a yellow wiffle ball with holes in it. The ball doesn't fly faster than about 60 miles an hour. It's not like a tennis ball you can hit 150 miles an hour. You play with a short little paddle with a short handle, and the game's a little slower, and there's less movement because the court's about a fourth the size of a tennis court, and you play with a net and a ball, and a lot of people like to play.
So what is it, tennis for midgets?
It's tennis for old people that don't have to swing a heavy racket, so they don't get elbow problems. They get knee and feet problems from changing directions quickly. But the tennis elbow thing has been defeated by these light paddles that weigh 8 ounces.
Okay. All right.
And there's no shock from this heavy tennis ball. It's just like you hit a wiffle ball. You can barely feel it hit your paddle, I think.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's – well, in all honesty, that paddle – J6er, good. I think that's good.
It's the hottest paddle on the market right now. It hits the ball faster. It's got great spin numbers. If you want to get one, you're going to love it. It will probably outperform anything you've ever held in your hand.
All right.
And it makes a political statement at the same time.
And to me, that's, I don't think enough people, you know, it's amazing how we forget things and what happened. I'll just say this, with respect to the law enforcement, federal law enforcement response to the January 6th people who were in attendance at the Capitol, and not even at the Capitol, but just around. Folks, you better remember what they did, because they're going to do it again for some other reason. I guarantee you. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, there we have it.
The Christopher Wray comment under oath that there were only 28 known confidential informants, no agents on the grounds. And then we find out after a little investigation that they had 276 federal agents for the FBI there, not counting the Department of Homeland Security agents. Nobody ever questioned those guys. Let me tell you, there were more DHS agents there than there were FBI agents.
DHS agents. So, are you talking like HSI, or are you talking the entirety of DHS in the
Department of Homeland Security?
Right. Yeah. But all right. Wow.
Oh, by the way, did you see what came out about Trump and the Epstein thing?
I did not.
Trump. This came out of a sheriff's department, I believe in Florida.
Okay.
Trump was the first whistleblower on Epstein.
I did see that.
See that?
Yeah, I did see that. So that was out not too long after, what was it, 07? It was back, it was a long time ago. Right after.
2006.
What's that?
2006 is okay. When Trump called the sheriff's department and said, this guy's up to no good. He's evil. Watch that gal, Ghislaine Maxwell, because that's his operative. That's how he operates. She does the dirty work.
But you know what, Sam? That was in the public venue subsequent to the Florida prosecution. That I don't believe that was redacted, or if it was, it wasn't for a while. And we had talked about that before. So for people just to discover, and I'm not saying this about you, but for the media to upplay that, okay, you know, to me it's a little bit disingenuous. But you're exactly. He was the say what you will. Say what you will about him. But you're right.
And on the other side, to balance the Trump debate, Trump is not pro-Second Amendment. He never has been. I've done a lot of research on him, and you go back a ways, and this guy, he's just like the judge, Jeanine Pirro. You know, they never been pro-Second Amendment. Now, his sons are. Donald Jr. and Eric, they're both pro-Second Amendment, but Donald Trump, and when you say things like, can't we just take guns and have due process later? You're not pro-Second Amendment. You're not pro-Bill of Rights.
No. The red flag law, his position on that, it was very bothersome to me. I think you just paraphrased his response. And yeah, I think that given the right set of circumstances, we could lose our Second Amendment rights if we allow it.
Well, they can pass laws that contravene the Second Amendment, but you can't contravene 120 million men that have more ammo than any 10 militaries added together. That's going to be a tough one for them.
And speaking of ammo, and speaking of that, do you still have time, or do you still? I'm asking for a friend now. Are you entertaining building new guns platforms, new weapon platforms? I mean, okay. So you're still doing that, and folks, if you're in the market for just a top quality rifle, custom built. That guy is the guy to get your weapon from, I'm telling you.
You know, Doug, one of the things that I'm most proud of, and I appreciate you bringing that up, but if you go look at all the custom gun manufacturers out there and you check out the rags, the back where the ads are, where people are selling their weapons used, you go to Gunlist, you'll find all of these companies that have multiple products of theirs for sale.
Yeah.
When I build a gun for somebody, I think he'd rather sell his first kid than the gun I built him, because they're so accurate. You don't ever see a tier one rifle for sale used. It just doesn't happen. you know, and that's
I haven't, yeah.
Really proud of.
And you know, again, the quality, the attention to detail that, look, I don't need to hype or sell, and I'm not hyping, but I certainly don't need to. It doesn't, you don't need my approval or imprimatur on your equipment, but I'll just say this. I don't know of anyone else that could build a system, a rifle, a long gun like you can with the attention to detail that you have. So I'm just,
well, you know, I have some really good tools. One of the benefits of growing up in a printing press manufacturing company is you've got 500 employees, you've got 30 industrial engineers, 30 or 40 design engineers, you've got an accounting department and a purchasing department, all the typical things that are manufacturing market. But the cool part for me was the machinists, the guys that worked for a living. And these guys ran these big Mazaks and these big CNC machines. And there was a special group of machinists we called the model shop. And these were the best of the best machinists. They would machine the prototypes. They would take the drawings out of engineering that came out of AutoCAD from McAuto was the software we used at the time, developed by McDonnell Douglas. And they would take these McAuto designs from our engineers, and they would go over them with a fine-tooth comb and make the very first of a new part or a new machine part. And these guys were just geniuses. I mean, they, you know, I remember John and Mike and Kevin. These guys were absolutely amazing. I spent every spare minute working for my dad in the model shop learning from these guys. And they were the best machinists we had. And they knew how everything worked. And I remember the moment where my brain woke up and said, this guy, John, is just smarter than everybody else in this factory. I had put some money, you know, I'm a young kid. I put some money in the vending machine. It was right across the hallway, the lane from the model shop. And of course, you have these wire fences that are like 15 feet tall that protect their tooling and their equipment so nobody else can get into it. And they're working, John's on the mill, and he's kind of facing me. If he looks to the left of the mill he's working on, he can see the vending machine 15 feet away across the hall. And he sees me put money into it, and the machine doesn't work. And I start kicking the machine and bumping the John walks out of the cage. He comes over to the machine. And he says, son, he said, these machines have a mechanism that's shaped like this. And so if you want to get that thing to drop, you need to hit it over here. Max it right there. And my food comes out and hits the bottom tray, and I can reach through the door and grab it. And I'm like, this guy just knows how everything works, even the vending machine. I mean, the guy was just an amazing resource for a young guy to learn from and be tutored by. And one of the things that he told me as a young man were the best machines have the highest quality spindle bearings. Doesn't matter if it's a mill or a lathe, it's the spindle bearings that control that tool spinning. So you get a machine, you get yourself some class 10 spindle bearings, and now you've really got something that you can cut some really precise parts with. So when I got into the gun manufacturing business, I ordered a Nardini lathe. It wasn't a super expensive lathe, but I had a Claus and Colchester, and I had a Nardini lathe, the two lathes that I used to make barrels with. And when I refurbished the Claus and Colchester, I had them put class 10 spindle bearings in it. I ordered the Nardini, and I waited almost 2.5 years. And then Haas, the company I ordered the machine from, they call me one day and they say, hey, Sam, is 7 millionths of run out good enough? And I said, what? Did you say 7 10,000ths? He said, no, 7 millionths. I said, on my lathe? He goes, yeah, we just tested it. It's awesome. You got to come get it. I'm like, I'll be there in an hour. Let me hook up a trailer. And I drove out there and I got this lathe. And I don't know if you understand reaming operations on a lathe, but you're running a reamer inside a barrel.
I understand getting reamed. I don't understand the reaming
operations. Same concept, right?
All right.
So you run this reamer inside, like say you're making a 308 chamber. You run this reamer in the barrel. And if the tailstock that's holding the tool is just off a thousandth of an inch, then when you run the reamer in the hole becomes the chamber of the barrel where the bullet goes in before you fire it. It's two thousandths oversized. So whatever air you have, you double it if your stuff isn't lined up right and your bearings aren't super good. It's the first lathe I ever made a barrel on where I reamed the chamber with a chambering reamer. And when I measured the chamber in the barrel, it was 2/10,000 smaller than the outside dimension of the reamer. Which means that when you ran the reamer in that thing, it spun so true. And I blueprinted it. I lined it up, you know, really good. But when you run that reamer in there, the material actually flexes from the tool pressure slightly. And then when you pull the tool out, it shrinks back. And it actually cut chambers undersized. That's how good those spindle bearings
are. Wow.
Never okay. seen it in my entire life on a reaming operator.
I actually understood that. So, wow. That's amazing.
So, you know, the lessons those old men taught me when I was a youngster, you know, yeah. a young engineer, it was incredibly valuable to me later in life. And that those lessons are actually what allowed me to build the most accurate sniper rifles in the world.
I thought of you. I don't know if you remember this film, Shooter. It was called Shooter.
Sure. Was it Wahlberg?
Wahlberg was, yeah. And I thought of you because obviously he was a sniper and he had whatever he had, but it was pretty impressive. And when I saw it, just made the whole thing just made me think of you for a number of reasons, not the least of which, of course, was the rifle he used. But and one of the scenes in there too was pretty interesting. About he was talking to an older guy, and they were laughing about what people would call conspiracy theories, and you know, it was an interesting film. Hey, before we go on further, I did get an email from someone. And I have to ask you this question. Next sure. time Sam Andrews is on, please ask him. And here we go. Off to the races. Is there any possible scenario where Sam believes or where Sam believes that the rifle that was used to kill Charlie Kirk on September 10th of last year was in fact the caliber stated?
No, there's no chance.
All right.
And I can explain why. So when I was working as a contract engineer for Powell River Laboratories in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, that company was started by Andy Gettelfinger and Harold F. Beale. Okay, now Harold F. Beale, we all called him Bubba. This is a D1 athlete, threw the shot put in the disc for North Carolina University. Big man, incredibly strong hands. One of the most shrewd, intelligent people I've ever known. Guy was an absolute genius. He's the guy that held all of the patents on the powdered tungsten bullets we made for SEAL Team 6 and for the Secret Service. Okay. Now, part of the problem with making ammunition for special units is that they have unique terminal ballistic requirements. So one of the things that they require, depending on what they're doing, is they're in an overpenetration or an underpenetration scenario. So when you're a Secret Service sniper, part of the Presidential Counter Sniper Protection Detail, and back in the day when I was working with Harold and the Secret Service, Bill O'Rourke was the supervisor running that group for the president. These were the snipers that protected the president of the United States, and they had a unique requirement. They needed a bullet that they could fire out of their 300 Win Mag sniper rifles, which is what they used at the time. And they needed a bullet that could hit a 150-pound skinny man in the chest and not over-penetrate. Now, that is an incredible task to accomplish at 50 or 100 yards with a 300 Win Mag, because the right. energy level is so high. Almost anything you shoot at a man from the front is going to over-penetrate dramatically. And so what we did was we developed this powdered tungsten technology. And this instead of putting a lead core in a copper jacket, we used powdered tungsten and a couple of other things as binders that were very dense. And we could control the penetration profile with the compression we put on the core before we put it in the copper jack. So by making the compression really light, we could shoot a guy in the chest with a 300 Win Mag, 200 grain bullet, running 2,875 feet per second out of the muzzle of their rifles. That was the spec. And they could hit a guy in the chest and have no exit wound and no risk of collateral damage to any innocent standing behind the perp that they're shooting. Okay. Right. And to do that, we had to bracket things. You know, we tried lead with no antimony in it. We tried thinner jackets. We tried powdered aluminum, powdered tungsten, powdered copper. These are sintered powders that are like finer than baby powder. And by tailoring the compression, we could produce the under penetration scenario that we wanted. And eventually we got so good at it that we could dial the compression of the core, this powdered core, to perfection. So you could hit a guy in the chest and it would come apart in the shape of a giant Hershey's kiss laying on its side and liquefy everything in the chest cavity, yet no exit wound, which made it incredibly safe for a Secret Service sniper to deal with a perp in a crowd of innocent people that came to hear the president speak. And that was some really, really neat technology. And a lot of work went into, because anybody can make a powder tungsten bullet, but how do you make it accurate? Accurate enough to meet the Secret Service half MOA accuracy requirement, half a minute of angle. And so we figured out how to do that. In fact, we've shot groups under an inch and a half with powdered tungsten bullets at 1,000 yards. I mean, that's how accurate we got the accuracy down to for a really well-made weapon system. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's not true. You know, the world records, you know, 1.75. Well, people don't understand. World records are shot in match competitions where there's shooters on all sides and you've got overpressure and switching winds and all of that kind of stuff. It's not the same as a guy sitting on a range in the evening, right as the sun sets with no wind at all, shooting a really good weapon with a good lot of bullets. You can do better in those conditions than you can in match conditions. And in fact, I've designed weapon systems that shoot sub 5 inches at 2,200 yards. I mean, that's just incredible stuff. We couldn't do that 30 years ago. We can do it now,
man.
And it's, wow. It's really interesting when you get in. Now, the other scenario I'll give you, it's a funny story. We had a Navy admiral, and he was very interested in improving the penetration of the 9mm that some of the SEALs were using. This, we're talking naval surface warfare development, okay? And so we took that same technology where we were using three-digit compression numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And we compressed that core on the powdered tungsten handgun bullet for the 9mm at 330,000 PSI.
Is that even possible? I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
Possible. Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you take 100,000 pound press and press the core, the diameter of a 9mm, which is smaller than 9mm because it has to fit inside the wall thickness of the jack. And you can put over 300,000 pounds of pressure on that core.
Wouldn't that be, for lack of a better term, dense as hell? I mean,
yes, 40% denser than lead. Since you asked, thank you for asking. Right, 42% denser than a lead. Yeah, heavy. Tungsten's heavier than lead anyway. But when you compress it and you do some, you can make some really heavy cores. Now. We shot that in the Navy test at Crane, Indiana. Okay. And the thing went through a car engine block, went through the radiator, went through the block, came out the back of the car, went through another engine block, came out the back of that car, and lodged in the radiator of the third vehicle. That's where we found the bullet. And the admiral looked at us and he said, "Will you guys do me a favor?" "Sure, what do you need?" He said, "Don't ever make another bullet like that.
Don't really?
That's ridiculous. We don't need them." And so we kind of went a little overboard with the penetration on that deal. But it's a pretty amazing technology. And what that technology really gave you was tremendous range of penetration profile. You could dial whatever you wanted based on the binder of the core and the compression of the core. And then you combine that with the twist rate of the rifle barrel, and you could get any profile you wanted.
Huh.
Neat okay. stuff. I really enjoyed those projects.
Wow. All right. But okay. So I got to go back to that question though. So now the official story with respect to the weapon. Right.
So let's talk about what's available to people that aren't into science and can't create their own bullet technology.
All right.
Let's talk about what's available to the average Joe on the street.
All right.
So the most frangible bullet out there that you could hand load into a .30-06 cartridge, okay, is a 110 VMAX. It has a very thin jacket. It has a core with no antimony alloyed into the lead. It's incredibly soft, comes apart incredibly quickly after hitting a target. Okay. Now, you put that particular bullet in a .30-06, okay, and it will blow through three of Charlie Kirk's necks before it stops penetrating. And that's the most frangible thing we have, okay? It's just too much mass, too much energy, and too shallow a distance, 3.5 to 4 inches from the entry point to where the exit point is going to be, that a 110 VMAX hitting a guy right here from a .30-06 would blow 4 or 5 vertebrae out the back of his neck and leave a hole about that big. Ask me how I know. I've seen human shot with those.
Yeah. Okay.
So we used to, for hostage rescue situations, we used to recommend and sell product that included a 110 VMAX so that you could shoot someone, have the bullet frange, and not be as big a risk to any hostages nearby. Okay, and we sold that for hostage rescue. So when you're doing hostage rescue as a SWAT team, you have two problems. You got the underpenetration problem, you got the overpenetration. We use the VMAX for the overpenetration problems when there's innocent people around. We use the heavy penetration round, the opposite, for situations where you've got to shoot through glass or shoot through a wall or do some other interesting things. And without disclosing TTPs for our SWAT teams, I've probably said enough about that. But let me tell you, zero chance somebody shot a .30-06, hit Charlie Kirk in the neck, and didn't have an exit.
Yeah, Sam, the more I see of this, and I'm not actively investigating or looking at this, but just the more I see and the more I hear the people involved, and just seeing the stuff going on right now, the less I like about any of this. And yeah, and you know what else? I'm really getting tired of being lied to, and the lies aren't even good lies. So,
and you know who's doing all the lying? The FBI.
Yeah,
I'm just going to tell you right now, Epstein was an FBI operative, okay? And the FBI is lying about Charlie Kirk. That's the truth.
They're lying about Thomas Crooks. Ask me how I know. Yeah, papers, 100-page report, I think, came out about Crooks, heavily redacted. That came out yesterday or today, or nonetheless. Yes, lies all the time, and stop it. Come on.
Who skedaddled to Epstein Island the moment the indictment came out and confiscated all the videotape? Who was that?
No, it was the FBI.
Who has all the documents? Oh, it's the FBI.
Yeah.
Right? The FBI. Why would you have over 100,000 pages of documents of somebody that's a criminal that's been indicted? No, you have 100,000 pages because you've been working with the guy for 25 years. Okay.
I really believe he was an asset for multiple agencies. He was a bag man, and he was also a purveyor of.
Let me modify that just a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. he did things for other agencies, but as a financier, and working as a financier, he was getting protection from the FBI.
That's a good qualification. Right.
Okay, that so that he could do things for agencies, and the FBI could keep track of what everybody was doing.
Yeah,
he was an informant and an operative for the FBI, and he was a financier for multiple agencies financing black projects.
Yeah.
Okay, but the, you know, who has all the documents? Who has all the information? The FBI. Who's been lying? Who's been withholding information? The FBI. You know, you can blame Pam Bondi. And I like to blame Pam Bondi for things.
And after today's performance, I have no problem blaming her for a lot of things. I don't know whether you, well, you didn't.
But I'm not going to blame her for the FBI hiding all this information about Epstein. She probably didn't know that he was an FBI operative.
I probably still doesn't know. I suspect her knowledge pretty much is limited about a lot of things. You know, if I was in that position, head of DOJ, I'd be demanding things, evidence. And I have to ask you, in your vast career, with all of these document disclosures and such, I got to question a lot of this, because how many hands, how many fingerprints have been on those documents, chain of custody problems, modifications, omissions, destruction. I have questions. I don't know about you, but
well, the real dangerous documents have been disappeared.
Yeah.
But there's enough, you know, there's enough out there that people can get a real picture of what's going on. So, you know, you ask the question, well, why was the British prince? Why was all his information almost, they thought they got it all. Apparently they didn't. And why was the investigation on him just dropped by the FBI?
That's a great question. Do you have an answer? I mean,
it wasn't politically expedient to out the guy.
There you go.
You know, I mean, the FBI, let me tell you something. The FBI is at the heart of almost every corrupt scheme of the U.S. government. And if they're not, there's a few rogue people at Central Intelligence and a couple rogues at the NSA that have pulled some dirty stuff. But they don't hold a candle to the corruption at the FBI. Not even close. And so when you look at things that are kept secret and things that are controlled and things that are manipulated and people like Epstein and Khashoggi, you know, guys like that, there were financiers and drug and arms financing financing black projects. You look at those kind of guys, they're all in bed with the FBI, every one of them.
Do you think the average, that's a bad formation of the question, but I mean the rank and file, the agent, we'll say the resident agent, but special agent in the Pittsburgh office or whatever, are they connected to, or are they aware of this, or are they?
The facts just, are. The special agents in charge
right,
are.
They
know what's going on. Now, the agents are kept in the dark, right? But if you reach the SAC level, it's because you've made a lot of political friends in a lot of right places in the FBI.
I'm aware of that.
The FBI only promotes its own.
Yeah.
They are really good at determining who's loyal and who isn't. You take an honest, patriotic American that joins the FBI to help and to fight crime, that guy never makes SAC.
I've seen that.
He's terminated before he reaches 10 years in his career because he starts to uncover little things and see things that don't look right. And the second he goes, hey, what's that all about? You're out of here, son.
Exactly. And you know, that hasn't changed. Right now, seeing things, and again, maybe this is just my current disposition, but Sam, I'm to the point now where I'm thinking, screw it all. Tear it down. And
yes, the FBI needs to be disbanded. They need their powers need to be separated and pieced out to other agencies, and they need to be completely defunded and disbanded.
Yeah,
there's no fixing the FBI.
And I would say that with the DHS, how that was formed, and by George W. Bush, at his direction, really problematic. I was speaking to a couple of people about that recently, and I did not realize the just how hastily and how poorly DHS was organized. So anyway.
Well, do you realize the size of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Budget and manpower?
Yeah.
They're almost 10x the FBI.
Right.
You talk about a dangerous group. If they get out of hand, we got big problems. And let me tell you something. DHS was involved in January 6th. Nobody's talked about that. Well, I mentioned that once or twice on your show. But I'm telling you, as many agents as the FBI had there, DHS had some there.
Notable
agents were that were said to be operatives of the FBI that got a little media attention were actually working for DHS.
Really? Okay. What is that? Okay. So
remember when Obama said he wanted a federal police force that would rival the military?
Yes.
There you go. He was just taking Bush's plan the way Bush wanted it. Bush wanted the same thing. If you don't believe me, ask yourself why the whole Bush family supported Kamala Harris instead of Trump in the latest election.
Mm.
That's going to tell you where the Bush family actually lies. And how many people know that Prescott Bush was charged with treason for selling steel and completed rifles to Adolf Hitler?
I knew he did that, but I didn't realize he was charged.
Oh, yeah. He didn't get convicted, but he was close. He should have been convicted, but he wasn't.
Wow.
Friends in the right places.
Okay. Well, nothing has changed, so there we have it.
Yeah, these families have been in control for a very long time. And don't forget that the vice president under Reagan, who became president, George W.'s dad, is the former director of Central Intelligence. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah. No, it definitely not.
Like I said, these families have had great influence for a very long time. And they need to go. And that's why they all hate Trump. Because Trump marches in and usurps their political schemes of the Clintons, of the Bushes. They were expecting to have a dynasty. They're expecting a young Bush to come along and follow in W's footsteps. Trump comes along and says, oh, no, you don't. And the people agreed with Trump.
And people look at this, you know, the left-right dynamic. This, to me, is a globalist, populist dynamic in those terms, I guess.
Yeah, look hard at the Council on Foreign Relations. Who's a member and who isn't? Because I guarantee if they're a member of CFR, Ted Cruz, well, I wouldn't trust him.
And I remember back... Well, right before, during Obama, Marco Rubio was, I couldn't believe some of the old information that we had that I was going through. Marco Rubio and others getting money from Soros, the Tides Foundation. I say Rubio twice because that sticks in my head. There were numerous others, of course, but man, you know. One big club.
If you trace the power, the people in power, 99 times out of 100, you're going to find an attachment to the Council on Foreign Relations or Trilateral Commission.
Yes.
Powerful Americans in either powerful appointed positions or powerful elected positions, you can almost always find a connection back to either the Trilateral Commission or the CFR.
Amazing how that is. And a lot of people, folks, if you haven't studied or gotten books on, read about CFR, Trilaterals, Committee of 300, whatever it might be, do the studying, do the research, and you're going to find that Sam's 100% right on this. Sam, I dominated the direction of our conversation. I don't want to... I want to turn you loose. Whatever you want to talk about, my friend, we've got a quarter hour left here. So, where you want to take this?
Well, I want to thank everybody that has helped the Freedom Center. I have gotten so much help from the Hagman listeners and so much help from the John Moore listeners. And there's a lot of overlap, you know.
Yeah.
People, the conservative Christians love you both. And you guys have been such an incredible help to me financially dealing with this lawsuit that I have to say thanks. I you know, my heart goes out to you guys. I appreciate you more than you know. And we would not be in this lawsuit. We would not be in a position where we could go to trial. We would not even be financially solvent if it hadn't been for the help of the Hagmann listeners. And so I really have to thank you, Doug, and I have to thank your listeners for all the help that we've gotten. It has made a big difference. And I'm trying to give something back because of all that help I've received. And I have been on the phone for the last, I want to say, 12 of the last 14 days, 10 to 15 hours a day, talking to people about their health issues and what technology is actually available and how you can heal your body if you go through certain procedures in the right sequence. And I'm telling you, the peptide revolution in this country, the number of videos on social media on peptides has exploded.
I've seen that.
There are now 30 doctors on YouTube that are puffing their chest out and saying to the federal government, I'm not scared. I'm going to talk about this stuff and I'm going to tell people about it. And, you know, some of them are pharma shills, probably 5 or 6 out of the 20 that I've had a chance to sample are just big pharma shills. Oh, peptides are bad. You know, they're not FDA approved. I want to tell everybody, let me tell you something about the FDA. Great Britain has an FDA. France has an FDA. Saudi Arabia has an FDA. Russia has an FDA. Germany has an FDA. And I got to ask you a question. Would you trust a German scientist less than you would trust the FDA? Or would you trust the FDA less than a German scientist? I know who I'm picking. I'm picking the German scientist every time and twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, we have some really smart PhDs in this country, but we don't have the smartest people in the world in this country. We have a few. We lead in some areas, but we don't lead in all areas, and we sure don't lead in medical technology. Not even close. Germany is spanking the world when it comes to medical technology. And so I read a lot of studies from German scientists and German doctors. I read studies from Russian scientists and Russian doctors. And I can tell you, these countries, Japan, Italy, oh, by the way, since I have some Italian blood in me, say that for the first time in history, the wealth of the average Italian now exceeds the wealth of the average Frenchman. So you see, as the conservatives have taken over areas of the political system in Italy, the financial benefit has been tremendous for the Italian people. And good for them. As France has been misled by Macron and other libtards, their quality of life is going down. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Hmm. So okay, you brought that up. What is the bottom line? And forgive me if this sounds like a really academic question, but what's the bottom line significance of that? Because I think a lot of people might, and maybe even me, I may not fully grasp the not just the relevance, but the importance of what you said.
Well, if I were to comment on that from the 60,000 foot view, let's back off and look at the big picture. Right. And we can do it historically over time, or we can talk about current events in Europe. But liberalism and satanic, God-hating behavior destroys society. It makes you weaker. It makes you poorer. It makes you hungrier. Okay? And those are not positives. When you take conservative, God-fearing people and you put them in leadership, the people prosper. It's that simple. And you can see it everywhere. Who just elected a really conservative? Was it Japan?
Yeah.
Just elected a super conservative gal to a very important position in their government, right? And so you start to see the value of conservatism, the value of respecting God, the value of respecting God's laws and his natural law. and you see societies prosper. And you see those that thumb their nose at God, sign on with Satan. Look at what happened in Canada. The Liberal, what they have, 9 people killed and 25 injured in a shooting by another trans.
Yes, yes. And the
government tried to hide the fact that the guy wasn't a girl. He was trans. And the sheriff, when he was cornered in a public interview, finally says, okay, his original sex was male and he transitioned at the age of 12. And here we are 6 years later with this situation. And we just don't know if it really affected. Let me tell you something. You start pumping crap into a guy's body at the age of 12 and you feed that delusion that he can become female. And then you're surprised at 6 years later that he has a break with reality and murders a bunch of innocent children and then kills himself. You're surprised by that? When you've enabled his mental illness for 6 years, for the better part of a decade, I don't think you should be surprised.
No, of course not. What does one expect? What would anyone expect, given the depth? Again, I'm not searching for words, but I want to be very concise here. You're looking at this mental health crisis, in addition, built upon, I suppose, a rot of culture, a lack of morality, or not even an absence, but a push of immorality. I mean, all of these demonic components creating this abnormal situation and abnormal. I mean, there's nothing good about this, and there's nothing normal about it. And there's so. I ask, what do you expect the end result to be? You're going to have some massive problems, and we're seeing it. And you know what? It's amazing how people can still come out and say, "Well, you know,"
blame the gun.
Even make excuses, attempt to justify their position, which is unjustifiable. You can't do it.
Go ahead. You know, Doug, the FBI knew the profile of the mass school shooter 20 years ago. Remember Colm?
Yeah.
They knew that these people had specific things in common. Sexual disorientation issues, psychotropic drugs, okay, and being excluded socially, and which included depression. That's why the psychotropic drug. So you had depression, sexual dysphoria, social exclusion. They knew, the FBI has known for 20, 30 years how you make a mass shooter. 95% of all of the mass shooters in America have sexual dysphoria, psychotropic drugs, and social exclusion in their life in a major way. And you want to blame the gun? You know, but all the people that support gun control, they're not anti-gun. They're anti you having a gun because they want their side to have all the guns. They're not anti-gun. They're anti you having a gun. It's not about controlling guns. It's about controlling who owns the guns. And good luck with that, because we had about 85 million gun owners in this country when Obama took office. And after the Democrats started mouthing off about gun confiscation, that number skyrocketed. I think it's over 130 million now. Last I heard from the ATF and the FBI guys I know, they were seeing 2 to 2.5 million new gun owners calling in 4473 NICS checks every month. It's been growing over 2 million a month for the better part of a decade.
And because I do remember when that first blast started, and that made the headlines in the conservative media. So is that's still going on, is what you're saying? The growth of that growth?
I think it's slowed just a little bit since Trump won the election. I think that you've seen a downturn, probably 15% in firearm ammunition purchases and also new gun owners, but it's still growing. It's just not growing at quite the rate it was.
Well, as in my view, as long as it is still growing, there's hope, because that means percentages.
Let's talk logistics, okay?
Right. Sure.
The Chinese have close to 3.5 million armed men in their military.
Okay. All right.
The Americans, they have about 444,000 active. They have about 1.2, 1.3 million in reserve, depending on whose numbers you believe. And, you know, almost everybody is smaller than that. Russia's got so many of their men killed, they can't compete with America and Russia now, or America and China now, as far as troop strength or military strength.
Yeah, a million dead in totality over there? A million, right?
It makes my heart cry.
Wow.
And here's the interesting thing. If you added the top 15 militaries and the largest militaries in the world all together, they wouldn't be a fourth the size of the American gun owners. American gun owners don't just have a lot of guns, and there's not just 130 million of them. They have a lot of ammo. We're talking trillions of rounds of ammo. Trillions of rounds, the American gun owner. And I don't know if you remember the famous quote from the Japanese general in World War II, like, we can't invade their land. There's
going to
be an American with a gun behind every bush.
Yep.
You know, and in a lot of ways, that's true. And it's more true today than it ever was in 1944.
But you know what, Sam? Again, I'm going to be a Debbie Downer here. What we don't have, though, is apparently the will. Or do you not agree with that? In other words,
I agree with you on that. I think men, their testosterone's low. A lot of them don't act like men anymore. And they're not willing to stand up for what's right and be vocal about it.
Right.
I think that's an ongoing issue, because our society, our population's been poisoned. Do you know the average young man entering our military has a testosterone level half of what mine is as a 69-year-old male?
And that's by design, folks. I mean, that's
not a coincidence.
Right, right.
You know, can we fix it? Yeah, we can fix it. And there are men, don't get me wrong, there are young guys that have really healthy testosterone. But they're guys that grow up on ranches and farms in rural Missouri, that, you know, rural places, that eat whole foods and that work hard on a ranch, and they develop muscle and they develop their endocrine system, and they're not poisoned. There are plenty of those guys. And, you know, you talk about the forever wars, Iraq, Iran and Afghanistan and, you know, all this stuff. There's one benefit to that, and that is we got a whole nother generation of not NCOs, non-commissioned officers, raising sons in this country.
That's true.
That is not a small thing, to have men raised by men. That is not a small thing. And that means that we're going to have a core. It may not be huge, but we're going to have a core of real men to defend this country for quite some time.
Do you ever see a situation in the near term where there would be a period of gun confiscation, whether it's specifically geographically specific or on a federal level?
In America?
Yes, in America. Do you ever see that happening?
Sure. Absolutely. It could happen in Virginia and Oregon and California in the next 10 months.
Virginia,
nationwide.
Yeah.
And you may see the Supreme Court and the executive branch step in with lawsuits and get stays. I don't know if you saw that decision out of the Ninth Circuit, which is typically a very liberal circuit. But they shut down some California gun bans.
Right. I saw that. Okay.
You know, which is unprecedented in the Ninth Circuit. I think they've had 20 gun rights cases in a row that they've decided on the side of the state rather than the people and their Second Amendment rights. Well, that changed a couple weeks ago. And I think you're going to see, Honolulu's concealed carry legislation that's a complete violation of everyone's rights. I think you're going to see that shut down in the courts. The one real benefit to Donald Trump being president is not that he's pro-Second Amendment. It that is that he's appointed Supreme Court justices, Barrett, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch especially, right? Gorsuch is a star. He's an absolute stud for the Bill of Rights.
In this category, let's be... It,